Okay, so we were at the Mishnah on Ayin Tet Aleph. So this is Halacha Gimel. The Mishnayot is Mishnah Dalet Hein Vav. So the Mishnah says Tachrichei Ameit. So if you have the shrouds for the dead, Umerdat Shel Chamor, the saddle of a donkey, Ein Ben Mishum Kilayim, so not Kilayim. Now, as we'll see, the reason for that you can make the Tachrichei Ameit out of it is because, well, dead people are patur from mitzvot. This is honestly a fascinating sugya. There were two excellent articles by right Eitan Berman in Beis Yitzchak, which is YU's Halacha Journal, a bunch of years ago at this point, on this sugya. I'll mention some of it. The case of the saddle, the Bavli, this discussion is in Nida Samach Aleph. In the case of the saddle, this goes back to the cushions and the mats. Whereas we said that sitting in Chatnez midoraita is mutter because the Yisr is either wearing or ha'ala. And the problem of sitting in something is that it might fold up. But something which is stiff and something that won't fold like that is going to be fine. And as we'd seen, the Mishnah had said that in those cases, we only allow it when your skin doesn't touch them. Is that true here when it comes to the saddle? So the Rush notes that, well, we don't say it. So therefore, it could be that it's mutter, maybe because it's harder or something like that. And other Rishonim say that, no, it's just assumed that, you know, we already laid out the rules for that which you're sitting on. And if this is just another instance of something that you're sitting on, so then the halacha will be the same. Why wouldn't we specify? I don't know. It's obvious, right? Or either we already mentioned it, or you know, no one goes riding on a donkey when they're not dressed, right? That's not sanua. It's not comfortable. You know, presumably people don't. I don't know. I don't really ride animals, but you don't really wear shorts, I guess. I don't know. You don't want to go. You know, you wear something to pad. Now the Tosefta. This is quoted in the sugya in Nida. Says that this heter is only if the shatne is easily seen. Because then you will leave it as a saddle and you won't use it for a beged where it's going to be usher. But if it is, but if it's not, so then it's going to be, usher, right? Because we're worried that what you're going to end up doing is, right? And this is part of the beged, right? The beged she'avid bo kilayim sugya. Right, where the Gemara says that, right, quotes the bright, does begich ovid wokilaim are ze loyim karen lovit kochavim, veloya asena mirdat lechamor. Right, you can't make it as the saddle because it's lost there. And this is nifsak if you just want Shulchan Aruch mirdat lechamor mutar lasot mikilaim v'yoshev aleh. You're allowed to make the saddle out of kilayim and sit in it. Ushali b'sar nogeba. But Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the position that you can't have your skin touch it. But only when it is clear. But if it is lost, so then you can't make it into a saddle. Because if you make it into a saddle, the chayv and shame the komo nikar, because once you don't know where it is, shema yishkach, you'll forget it. V'yikach mimenu. So now the Mishnah continues. And you can't put it on your shoulder. Even if what you're doing is taking out the dung. Right. So even though, again, we said you're allowed to sit on it. That's because you're on it. Lo ya'ale alecha, but not you being on top of it. But if you put it on yourself, well, then it's halah. Then there is a problem because it's on you. You're not on it. Now, isn't it really hard and stiff and it shouldn't be what you're not getting hana'ah? No, right? Because, again, it's halah. You actually put it on you and therefore it is aser. Now the problem is, why is this aser, right? If you're if it really doesn't heat up at all, it's stiff to the point where no one benefits from it. So then, why should it be aser? So the Rosh Terilium asked this question, and he says that, well, it does, right? It does because it doesn't, when you're putting the dung on your shoulder, whatever. The saddle isn't just protecting you from dirt, which, as we already saw, might be mutter because that's not considered wearing. It also, look, dung, fertilizer, whatever, can also be heavy, and therefore cushioning it is also possibly necessary, and therefore this would be a beget. And so the Rosh Terilium says, "Kashli d'leil shari Rabbi Yochanan letit beget kilayim al begadav lo yin bo manai." Didn't Rabbi Yochanan already say that you can put something on to not make your clothes dirty? V'yishlam adatam lavana aval ha'achas shalva yichvod alav milvad shemadat chod tzedz b'megadav azevel shal yitanev miyatzelet nami legufo shal yichvod alav azevel v'chav lo v'cho tzedz et nami b'fnei hareach. Also, it keeps away the smell. Is that it's a negative hana, but right, it seems like a negative hana of sorts, but okay, right? That's still some sort of hana, right? Sometimes we talk about that not as hana when it's, you know, mavriach ari, right? You're just getting rid of a negative, but here presumably it's more than that. Okay, let's continue. Again, there's a lot lahalacha on every line here. Now the other possibility, obviously, is to maintain that no, it really is mutter, midaraita, that this is just one of those things that's aser midarabanan. In fact, the principles that we set out before are the same. I mean, that's the gruz approach here. Because sometimes it provides comfort, and therefore it's always aser midir abanan. So really, the way you should read the Mishnah is that you can't put it on your shoulder if you're benefiting midoraita, and even when you're not benefiting per se, it is still mutter midoraita, but it's aser midir abanan. Okay, and this is the Be'er Agra in Shin Aleph. In Ot Ted Vav, where the Gra says, I'll pull it up here, but yeah, the Gra just says, it's a long piece. Okay, you can look there. Yeah, I don't have to read inside, but yeah, you can look there in Ted 5. Okay. The Shach just says, if you look at the Shach says this is actually not a Devar Shem Gavin. You actually have a certain amount of kavana for that now that you're getting. Okay. So the Mishnah continues. Wait, we've only gone through part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues. Mochrek sud, mochren kedarkon. People sell clothes so they can sell shatnez in their normal way. Okay, let's try that again. Mochrek sud, mochren kedarkon. People who sell clothes can sell it normally. And they would sort of wear it to model it, or we'll see. As long as they don't actually have kavana to protect themselves from the rain in the winter months and from the heat in the summer, but the people who are careful in halacha put them on a stick behind them rather than, you know, this temporary wearing. Now, the Rishonim all know this is a big problem, that the Mishnah, and earlier it said that wearing shatnez in order to evade the taxes is, you know, whatever we talked about there, is usher. Is usher. So why would it be that here it's mutter? So one possibility is, yeah, it's a machloket. You know, it's a machloket. That's just what it is. That the earlier Mishnah is following one position, here it's following another, and they argue along the lines of davar shein mitkaven, of something where you're doing something which is mutter, and the isser happens incidentally, meaning here you're wearing the shatnez for something which is not considered wearing, but you get physical benefits. So in general, Rabbi Yehuda says davar shein mitkaven is aser, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter, so it could just be that the case of the taxes is following Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why it's usher. This is following Rabbi Shimon, therefore it would be mutter. And in fact, in both cases, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon would hold the reverse positions of the Mishnah, such that they would be consistent with their general position in Shas. Right? That is the so that is the position of the Rush. That's the position of the Rush. The problem here is that this doesn't seem to be davar shein mitkaven, it seems to be a psik resha. Because if you're wearing clothes, you're getting hana. And in general, we hold that by psik resha, it's aser one way or the other. It's aser whether or not you had kavana, because it's inevitable. Now, why that is, Shlomo Chanan famously summarizes the two main positions, which is either psik resha is kilu mitkaven, that since it's inevitable, it's as if you had kavana. That's one possibility. Or you don't need kavana because it's maase echad, and then you know you have to deal with another question of whether it actually requires inevitability, like mamash inevitability. When I was in Shir with Rai Willick, he called super segresha, or it doesn't need absolute, you know, definitional inevitably, just practical inevitability in this case. But if that's the case, you know, if in fact it is, it's an epsigratia, then even Rav Shimon should say that it's usur. And if that's the case, then you couldn't solve it the way the Rosh and the Rosh do, because again, Rav Shimon should be mode, wouldn't be subject to a machloket. So you could come up with a technicality, and that's the position of Tosfot and Shabbat Chofted Amud Bet. It says, I mean, in the love of psik resha. The way to explain this sugya is it wasn't a psik resha. If it was a psik resha, you're right. It would definitely be usher. The other possibility, the other possibility that Ron says is that maybe this is unique, that even though in certain areas of halacha we see that hana'ah makes things worse, here it might actually make it better. That if you don't plan to have hana'ah, so it's not called psik resha because you didn't get hana. He says the chevin lo mechavin la lo chashvin lamide. Just it's not relevant. Now, why is that going to be different from, let's say, a classic case of hana by achila or isra arayot, where in general the bar is lowered for the machshava that you need? So that's an interesting question. Right? It could be the difference between an isra that is defined by hana, or one where hana is just part of the isser, where it defines the isser, then yeah, like by arayot and by achila. So if you have the hana, then you violate the isser. It's inevitably tied to you. Whereas by kilayim, as we talked about, the hana might be to make things that aren't obviously Levisha, right? They're just halah into a quasi Levisha or something like that. But there, if you don't have kavana, so it might not be, I mean, might not be usher. Now the Rambam clearly thinks that these two Isurim are, these two Mishnayot are compatible, because he paskins that you're allowed to model Shatnez, but you're not allowed to wear it for the taxes. So how is that going to be? So the Kesef Mishnah says that our Mishnah isn't talking about wearing it the normal wearing. You're draping it over your shoulders. And if that's the case, so that's the difference. You can't mamish wear it, but like quasi wearing it. So quasi wearing it, that is going to be mutter. And of course, then you're going to have to define exactly how you wear it. There is a huge discussion in the postkim of exactly how to defend the Rambam. You can look at the Radbaz, you can look at the Bach. The Radbaz, for example, says that this has nothing to do with kilayim. The reason you can't wear the kilayim to look like a non-Jew is because you can't pretend to be a non-Jew, and therefore this is, it happens to be halacha that affects a case of kilayim, but it's not bi'ikaron about kilayim. Okay, there are all types of isurim that you could, all types of ways you could be miyashiv the stira. And now the Gemara gives, the Mishnah gives a similar case, that tofrin kedarkon, that people who are sewing clothes can sew it normally, even though they're draped over their legs. As long as they don't plan to get hana again, vatsuin tofrin. Baraz, and the people who are very careful are going to be very careful. Okay, so now the Gemara says, tachriche amet, so the shrouds for the dead. Why is it that you don't have to be worried? So k'tiv, b'meitim klofshi. When someone is dead, so he's potter from mitzvah. Now there is a machlok rishonim in the sugya in Nidan. As I mentioned, there's these excellent articles on that whole sugya there of Loig LaRosh and Chavshi Min HaMitzvot by Rabbi Eitan Berman. And I think it was Pesach Mem, if I'm something around that Mem, maybe Lamed Tet. Where he goes through all the shittos and rishonim. While one possibility, the way Rashi understands it there, is simply that dead people aren't chayiv in mitzvah. Rashba is a fascinating chiddush, that when it says zodomer mitzvah tilat lava, what it means is that when they have tchila meitim, they'll still be potter, and therefore it's not a problem to put the dead in tachrichen that have shanes, even though, well, one day they will have tchila meitim and they'll be risen from the dead. So then, shouldn't you be worried that they'll be wearing kilayim at that moment? And he says no. He says nearly. Right. So he quotes different positions. Right. Because they're going to get up in their clothes. And that's what this may be referring to. No, I'm sorry, other way around, right? The Rashba assumes it's not what it is that he will be chayev. It's just that you're not mitzuva al hamet. Right? The chay is not mitzuva al hamet. However, others think that, no, what it's saying is that he will be potter even then, right? He'll be potter even b'shat chayev hametim, and that's why you don't have to worry, because he's like permanently chavshi min hamitzvah. And the Rashash defends that position by saying, maybe that's what the word chavshi means, like free forever. Now, why would that be the case? So it could be that maybe there's no bechira chavshi after, when you come back, it's some sort of olam haba or something like that. All types of interesting things. Again, I encourage you to look at those articles. If you want to, if you really want to look into the sugya, and now we get some interesting agadata. So Rabbi Tziva Shlosha Dvarim, Rebbe said three things when he died. B'shapter adam min olam. Al tazuz amanat mebeiti. Don't kick my widow out of my house. V'al tazbuni b'ayarot. And don't eulogize me in the towns. And those who serve me in my life will serve me in my death. Al tazuz amanat mebeiti. What does it mean my widow shouldn't leave my house? V'lav matnidai. Isn't that a mishnah? That amana shamra. If she loves me beit bali. And if a woman wants to says, I don't want to leave my husband's house, so after her husband dies, we don't make her leave. So I'm a Rabbi Drosa, the lo yamrin la, beit nizyutahu, nidinasiyotahu, mishubadhu, linizyutah. Because he had to clarify that this was his own house, because he was the Nasi, right? And sometimes, you know, the rabbi has his own house, and sometimes it's the shul's house. So he had to make it clear this wasn't the shul's house, or wasn't the Nasi's house. It was his private house, and therefore his wife should be allowed to stay. And Amar Elazar Rav Yosi, Kadda Tani, alternately, that Dara Babatim, that the widow continues to live in her husband's home, Kishem Shai Dara Bahen Uvala Natun Vinayam, in the same way she would have had her husband been away. Umisha Tamesha Bekli Chesha Bekli Zav, and she uses the silver and the gold, Kishem Shai Dara Uvala Natun Vinayam, Vinizona, Kishem Shai Dara Uvala Natun Vinayam, and she's fed the way she would as she would have been if her husband was away in his lifetime. And her Valtis Benu Barayot, don't eulogize me in the towns, why not? So Mipnei Machloket, because it would cause Machloket, because the small cities won't have enough room and there'll be fights. Just don't do it. Right? Do it in the large city, the main cities, not in the towns. And then anyone who wants to come will come. Now in the Gemara in Dubot, in the Bavli, it seems to be different. It's Mishum that there actually was a benefit of having, you know, less in bigger cities. It's a bigger mamad of Kavodah Torah. Mishanitbo b'chayi tabo moti amar b'chan nan yaditziparin kigon yosef radiv yosef chafenim. These were his servants in his lifetime, and he wanted them to be the ones who dealt with his grave. But the Bavli in the Ketubah, in Ketubot, in Kuf Gimel, has a Chiddush. It says that was the Havamina. The people thought that what it meant was that these people should carry his coffin to the grave. But then they died right away, and it turned out that people realized he wanted them to serve in Olam Haba. Don't ask me what that means exactly. Right, I don't know. It's some form of honor. I don't know what it means. Metaphorical, don't ask me. I don't quite understand. And the Bavli says that part of the reason I had to say this, because people would have said, oh, that they died right away. Maybe they were a shayim. No, no, no. It's because they were supposed to serve him in Olam Haba. Rabbi Chizkiah Mosif, he adds, Al tabro lai tachrichin, don't put too many tachrichin on me. Now, in the Bavli, there are all types of other things that he told them. It's a fascinating story. We learn a lot of halachot from it. But look there. Right. So don't give me too many tachrichim because of worms or something like that. V'tehei adoni nikuva arun nikuva. Barets, and there should be holes in the grave, in the coffin when it goes into the grave, so that the body will rest in the earth. And in fact, that's what we do in many of our coffins, right? In Eretzel, they don't really use coffins so much, but in Chutzarts, right, some of the holes, or they'll use something which is like simple pine that will very quickly decompose. And Milta Amrin, Besadin Echa Nigmar Rebbe. In fact, he was buried with a single shroud. And now the Tosefta teaches that this was also part of the original, part of the move by the Nisim and Rav Gamliel to make funerals less expensive. De Rebbe Omar lo kama devar nash azal avayate. Because Rebbe had said that the way a person is dressed when he leaves will be he comes back. Right, meaning the way he dressed, not in those clothes, because then maybe he would want to be in a chashuv thing, but the way he was dressed, God will give him clothes of that sort. Rabbanan Amrin, Kamad Varnash Azal Ave'ate. But the Rabbanan said, no, that which you're actually wearing is what you will be wearing, and therefore maybe you would want to wear more extravagant clothing. Tani Vishem Rabbi Natan, Ksute Redin Mother Mashal, Hiba Im, all the clothes you go down to the grave and come back to you. The Pasuk in Eov says that the form is transformed, similar to clay, then the dead will stand up as they were dressed, which implies that, well, that they will be as they were dressed. Antolus Shola Rebbe, Antolus, or Antoninus, asks Rebbe, Mao Tapik Chomer Chotam, what does this Pasuk mean? Amarle, Mishu, Mevi et Ador, Whom of Isha, the one who brings the generation back to life, will clothe it as well. Rabbi Yochanan, Mifakeh, Rabbi Yochanan told his people, Albashuni Borurakah, put me in gray shrouds, Lochavim Lochman, not white and not black, because I don't want to look like a tzaddik. I don't want to look like a rasha. And kamed beni tzaddika lo nivat. Vin kamed beni rishay lo nivat. I don't want to be go lo gavat. I don't want to be look like I'm haughty. Right? If I'm wearing white amongst the rishay, I'm wearing black. And I don't want to be embarrassed if I'm wearing white when I'm not. I have black amongst the rishay. Put me in gray. Again, I assume this is somewhat symbolic. And he now part of it is probably also Ashkafic. He wanted everyone to look at him, or looked at himself as a Beinoni. Now, why was Rabbi Yochanan so worried? The Rav famously suggests the reason he was worried was because he'd made the decision to not ask for the Beit HaMikdash to be saved. He asked for the other things, for Yavin and the like. So he was always Mesupak. And therefore even, so he was always, unsure of exactly how he was judged in Shemayim. Yoshim, if I could, Al-Bashuni Chavaran Chafitin, he said, put me in white shrouds that are pressed. Amrun Lei, Umat Tavman Rabach, why are you better than your Rebbe? Amrun Lun, Ma'ad Ba'ed Me'avdoi. He said, why should I be, embarrassed? Right? It's not a machloket, it's just, it's a personality thing. Rabbi Yirmiyah Mefakeh, Rabbi Yirmiyah told his followers, Shuni Chavron Chavit, and put me in white ones. Shuni bin Narsai, in a fine clothing. Yavin Masai Miraglai, with shoes. Chut Rabbi Yadi, and my staff in my hand, we have no al sitra. Put me on the side. Inati Mashiach on a matet, so that when Mashiach comes, I will be ready. And again, he's encouraging people to believe in Mashiach's imminent coming. Tzifaraya Amrit, the people in Tzipori, Rebbe lived, it said, Mad Amarlach Rebbe Dimach, whoever tells us the Rebbe died, Anan Katlin Anlai. We'll kill him, right, in the Bavli, and this is the continuation of the story on Ketubot, on Daf Kovdalid, and they said that whoever says that Rebbe died will be stabbed with a sword, because they didn't want to know. According to Shidim Gubetzet, they didn't want to stop davening. The simple pshat is just it was too painful to hear. So adak lon bar kapara, as Rebbe looked at them, reisha mechase, his head was covered, manay mevazen, and his clothes were ripped. Amar lon yitzukim arem tvusim luchot abrit, and he said the righteous ones and the angels are holding on to the luchot, which is often the luchot is a mashal for tamidei chachamim, just like the shivrei luchot. We talk about the broken luchot being a mashal for tamichim who've lost their Torah. The gavra yadon shel arelim and the malachim won v'chatva luchot. Amar lei demach Rabbi, and they said, "Did Rabbi die? Amar lon atun amartun. You said it, not me. Right? Therefore, I'm not chayiv mita." The karon of the tor kriya v'hazal kala the karon lego pafta, and it was so loud that it was heard in pafta mahalach tlatan milen. Rav Nachman v'shem Ramana v'shem Rabbi Mana Masa Nisan Nasa Bodayom. There were Nisan that happened on that day. Erev Shabbat Aita, it was Friday. V'nitzku kol red las bidur, everyone came to eulogize him. V'shunei tam nesrin knishin, and they gathered several times for 18 different gatherings for eulogies, and they would sit down, stand up, stand, sit, continue the procession, etc. V'achdunei levet sharei, and they reached Beit Sharem, Now, this should have normally gone into Shabbat, but Utalon Yoma, but God magically extended the day. Achay called Echon Vechon Magila Veto, Malachovich Almayim, till everyone had a chance to get home, Umadligan over there, and light their candles, and Kevin Shishaka Chama. And when the sun set, Kara Gever, the rooster crowed, and Sharon Matzkin and Amran, and people were in pain. They said, Dilma Machalan Shabbat, maybe we were Machal Shabbos. Yadza Batkov Amrlin, Kal Misha Lo Nitzadu, Bezvedel Rebbe, and a Batkov came out and said, no, anyone who wasn't lazy in eulogizing Rebbe, Yehim Bevusel Chai Alam Haba, is going into Alam Haba, Barm and Katzer, except for this laundry man who apparently didn't come, and came into Shavan Kanta when he heard it, Solik Lidre went up the roof, Vinatel Garmei Umet, he threw himself off and he died, and Nizrik Batkov Amrav Afilu Katzer, and said, even he's going to Olam Haba. Now, obviously, right, it sounds, right, you know, like he committed suicide, which creates problems. The Yavetz therefore says that he didn't commit suicide. He fell in anguish. Or Ben Yoyoda says that he meant to throw himself, but only to cause pain. He didn't realize he was going to die either way. It wasn't intentional suicide. There's a lot of discussion about this, but we're just going to have to stop there, and we'll pick up tomorrow.